This is the Afternoon Magazine, and I'm Amy Guida, Legal Issues and the News Commentator, sitting in for Celeste Quinn. Today we're talking with a couple of lawyers who've written books, works of fiction, actually, something a bit different from standard legal briefs and memoranda. First in alphabetical order, Alifair Burke. She's written a novel called Judgment Calls. She's a former prosecutor from Portland, Oregon, who now teaches criminal law at Hofstra University School of Law. Good afternoon. I hope we haven't pulled you away from students.
No, I'm fine. Today I don't have any classes. My day off.
And second, Rose Connors, who's written a novel titled Temporary Sanity. Rose is also an attorney, one in practice for 20 years. Hope we haven't pulled you away from clients.
No, not at all. I'm happy to be here.
Okay. Hope the weather's okay for both of you, too.
Well, we're seeing the last of Isabel here in New England.
Thank you both for joining us this afternoon, and listeners are welcome to call in to ask questions of these two authors. Any questions you want to ask, comments you want to make, call us at 333-9455 from the Champaign-Urbana area, or from anywhere else, call us toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL and 1-800-222-WILL. Tell listeners a little bit about your novels. Alifair, you wrote about Judgment Calls about a prosecutor named Samantha Kincaid.
Samantha Kincaid is a young attorney in the Drug and Vice Division of the Portland, Oregon District Attorney's Office, and she's sort of been hungry for her first big case, and she finally gets a chance at a major trial when a police officer she knows asks her to intervene in the prosecution of a guy named Frank Derringer, who's accused of raping and trying to kill a teenage prostitute. And as Samantha works more diligently on the case, she finds that not only does the case have some problems that need to be firmed up, but she also finds herself working with an ex-boyfriend, which is difficult for her, and also the case begins to overlap with a high-profile death penalty case, and it's much more complicated than she ever thought it would be.
And Rose, your Temporary Sanity is a second book about Marty Nickerson, who's a criminal defense lawyer.
That's correct. She started out as a prosecutor in Absolute Certainty, and she's by the second book, she's jumped ship. And in Temporary Sanity, she takes on a matter of a father who murdered his son's murderer and happened to do it while a number of TV cameras were rolling. And she deals with the difficulty and the limited number of defenses available to him, and which is complicated by his unwillingness to say that he was temporarily insane when he pulled the trigger.
Given those storylines, I'm going to ask you a question that may not make much sense, and that is, how can you both, as boring lawyers, write about such interesting things?
Are we boring, Alifair?
And I'm a lawyer, too. I'm a lawyer, too, so I can say this.
I always think the only lawyers who aren't boring are the ones who do criminal law. I think we're an exception.
Mm-hmm. So you, do you think it does take a special talent, then, as a lawyer to write interesting things like these works of fiction, these novels?
Sure, because I was kind of kidding when I said, well, criminal law is not boring. But
yeah.
If you try to write a legal-based novel and just make it about writing about the law is the character that drives the book, I think that would be kind of boring. So I think when you take the law and use it as a background for fiction, you still have to have all of the other characteristics of good fiction. You need an interesting character who develops through the book. You need interesting other characters that support her world. You need an interesting plot with lots of twists and turns and a good beginning and a middle and end. And so a lot of that kind of stuff is very different from legal writing.
Mm-hmm. Do you find law boring?
Rose, you think law is boring?
I don't. And I have to say, I know you were joking, but I kind of agree with you about criminal lawyers not being boring. I can't imagine, and I have dear friends who do it, but I can't imagine spending my life doing trusts and estates. And I just think it's a matter of, you know, what you find interesting. And, you know, I find people's motives and mismotives and maybe incorrect assumptions about themselves and others to be the most interesting thing. And in criminal law, that's, you know, no one ever thinks he's going to get caught. So you have a chance to explore those things.
And is that the type of law you practiced as well?
Yes, yes. I never worked as a prosecutor. I interned in a prosecutor's office when I was a student, but all the criminal work I've done has been defense work.
And Ella Fair, I know that you were a prosecutor as well.
I was a prosecutor, and I briefly had a foray into civil litigation, and quite frankly, I was a little bit bored. The legal issues would be very interesting, and in some ways, the law is actually much more complex and challenging when you practice civil law than criminal law. But the stories themselves, the human stories, were never very interesting, and I never really found myself getting a lot of adrenaline pumping over, you know, how much money I was going to earn that day for my client.
Yeah.
I think I was in the wrong line of work.
Do you think it's easier to write about law in fiction when you are a lawyer, or more difficult? And Rose, I'll let you go first.
I think the honest answer to that is both. I think it's easier because I think all of us who spend time in the courtroom have just a wealth of material to mine. I mean, we've all seen more funny scenes, more heartbreaking scenes, more dramatic scenes than we will live long enough to write about. On the other hand, I found, particularly with my first book, I tossed a lot of material away because when I went back and reread it, I sounded like a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to get past that, to write fiction that didn't read like a legal brief.
Ella Fair, do you agree?
I'd agree with that. It's easier to be authentic with the law because you know it so well, but it can be difficult sometimes because in the end, the book is a piece of fiction, and I think that people who aren't lawyers can use the law just as a plot vehicle and not care if it's not accurate, and I could never bring myself to do that. Mm-hmm. Whenever the editors say, can't we just simplify it by saying this? I'd say no, because it's not right. And so it makes it harder to truncate things and make it still interesting and have it still be technically accurate.
We're talking this afternoon with Rose Connors, who's written a crime novel called Temporary Sanity, and Ella Fair Burke, who wrote Judgment Calls. You're welcome to call in with questions or comments for these lawyer authors. The number is 333-9455 from Champaign-Urbana, or from anywhere else, call us toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL and 1-800-222-WILL. How did your training as a lawyer, Ella Fair, in law school help you when you began writing fiction, if at all?
Oh, it helped me tremendously. I mean, the stories, although fiction, come very much from my experience around the courthouse in Portland, Oregon. And the habit of writing, I think, was developed in law school where I had to write a lot, obviously a different kind of writing. And then finally, like I said before, it's certainly easier to get the law right in the book if you know it.
Mm-hmm. And Rose?
I agree with that. I also think that you get a real feel in law school for the different kinds of characters that inhabit the world of the law. You know, if you had one view of what a judge is, you pretty quickly learn that there are a lot more judges out there than the one stereotype you might have had in mind. The same way with, you know, with lawyers themselves, and like anyone else. I think it just broadens your view of who lives in this world and who cares about making it work and who doesn't.
And when did you decide to become a lawyer? Why did you become a lawyer?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't really remember.
I'm not sure I ever made that decision. I took about 3 years off after college because I wasn't sure about it. And when I did go back to law school, I was actually quite surprised by how much I liked it. I sort of went into it thinking, well, I'll give this a shot and see. And I was really caught up in it. I actually really liked law school. I liked reading the cases. I liked the stories.
Mm-hmm. And Ella Fair?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember why I went to law school. It seems so long ago. I think I was one of those people who didn't really know what I wanted to do. I think I knew I wanted someday to be an academic, but I had enough friends with PhDs in English and psychology who couldn't get jobs. I figured if I went to law school, I could always teach law school or I could always be a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then when I got there, I actually, like I wound up being a little more interested in practice than I thought. So I went and did that for at least a little while before I went the academic route.
Mm-hmm. And Elifer, when did you decide to start writing fiction like this, try your hand at this?
Well, my father's a writer, and he had always told me that he thought I should write something, and I would always have that sort of in the back of my head. But it wasn't until I actually left the DA's office and moved to New York that I actually started working on judgment calls. And I think part of it was that I really missed the office, and I missed my friends there, and I missed Portland. And I hadn't met anybody yet in New York and didn't know anyone. I was home a lot. So I just started toiling away at it, and before I knew it, I was done.
And Rose?
I always think that I kind of started writing by accident. I actually sat down wanting to write a closing argument from the point of view of a prosecutor who was just totally certain of her position. And I just kind of wanted to get into that kind of a mindset because I usually am not certain of anything. And that closing argument now is chapters 2 and 3 in Absolute Certainty, the first book. I don't think I ever, until I was almost finished, thought I was writing a book. You know, I was just kind of telling a story, and it one chapter led to the next, and it was really largely an accident.
Do you think, because I've known a number of lawyers who have books in the works. I don't know if any of these have become published authors, but do you think it is a secret wish of many lawyers to write fiction like you both have?
I've heard a lot of lawyers say, I always wondered if I could write a book. I think a lot of lawyers always, maybe they're not all wanting to be writers, but I think there are a lot of lawyers who wonder if there was some other career out there.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I think Elifer was right when she said you get into the habit of writing in law school, even if it's a different kind of writing. The idea of facing a blank page doesn't terrify you if you've been through 3 years of law school.
How close is your novel, Rose, to real-life lawyering?
I hope it's close in that I hope that I've at least raised some gray areas, because I think those are the interesting parts of the law where it's really not clear, you know, there's not 100% right or wrong response to a situation. So I hope in that sense it's pretty close to real lawyering. In terms of the actual facts, the cases, those are all totally made up.
Uh-huh. And Elifer?
I would say the same thing. The atmosphere and the work is pretty realistic, but the cases themselves obviously are probably more interesting than the ones you get on a daily basis. One of the best compliments I got was from one of my former coworkers who's still at the DA's office, and he sent me an email and he said, I love your book, but I can only read little parts at a time because it's so much like being at work. This is our office.
How much are we? I think we stereotype, at least I do sometimes. A prosecutor is this way. Are the prosecutors in your books very much like the prosecutors you've worked with and been over the years? In terms of their personalities. Rose?
Geraldine Schilling, who is my main prosecutor in both books, she's really a composite of real women prosecutors that I've met over the years. I've kind of blended their traits together to make her. So it probably makes her a little edgier than any one of those real people would be alone. You know, I always thought if I were going to cast this story, I'd put Glenn Close in that role with Geraldine Schilling. But I have other prosecutors in there, you know, assistant DAs, and I think they're realistic in the sense that they're so varied, you know, that, you know, you find prosecutors who are totally reasonable, who want to work things out if they can, and you find others that are on some kind of a vendetta. So I try to make them believable, if maybe a little bit exaggerated, to make them interesting.
And Elifer, how about you for the defense attorney side?
Whether my depictions of defense attorneys are accurate?
Yeah, and stereotypical, or, I mean, again, we at least stereotype sometimes criminal defense lawyers.
Yeah, I've gotten an email from a defense lawyer, and I've ran some defense lawyers on my book tour, and they all comment on this little rant Samantha Kincaid goes on about, you know, the three different kinds of defense attorneys and which ones drive her crazy. And all the defense attorneys I've run into have said, you really did sort of nail us on that we do fall into these camps. And so I tried to also sort of depict them accurately, but I would agree with Rose that to some extent they're a bit of an exaggeration sometimes.
And you both chose women lawyers to write about. Alifair, do you think that makes it more interesting? Why did you choose a woman?
Well, I picked a character who's experiences are very much like my own, because it made it much easier for me to make it authentic and to write about what I know and to make it real. And I'm not sure if I could write a book, you know, with a 60-year-old male protagonist, because I don't really know what those experiences would be like.
And Rose?
Yeah, I have to agree with that. People sometimes ask me, is my protagonist me? And I always say, absolutely not, but I sure dig into me to get stuff about her. And I don't know how I would get that kind of stuff if I were trying to bring a male protagonist to life.
Do women lawyers live more interesting lives?
Than who?
Than
men.
Than men or than women who aren't lawyers?
than male lawyers.
Well, that's an interesting question.
I think they've got it harder in some ways, particularly depending on what kind of practice they're in. I don't know if I'd say it was more interesting. I don't know. I guess I don't know what it's like to be a boy.
We're talking with two attorneys who've written novels about lawyers, how that law degree might make for better fiction writing. Please call us if you have a question or would like to make a comment. The number is 333-9455 from Champaign-Urbana or from anywhere else. Call us toll-free 1-800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL and 1-800-222-WILL. Did either of you have to tweak the law at all to fit into your story? And I mean substantive law. Alifair, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I had to make some changes because originally there was a big, you know, gap in the book where it was literally like part two, 6 months later, because the trial date had come. And so I had to, you know, make some changes so that the trial comes very quickly. But for the most part, the law is accurate.
And Rose, same with you?
I made exactly the same change, actually. I had a trial come very quickly, and I had to sort of acknowledge that and say that the prosecutor had put it on a fast track and give a reason for that, because ordinarily it takes longer to get to trials. But that's the only change I can think of. I tried to remain true to the real substance of the law.
And did you try at all, did you find yourself, and I think, Alifair, you mentioned this before, making it more accessible to the reader while still educating the reader a bit about substantive law?
Sure. That was one of my goals in the book, is because if you read a lot of the legal thrillers are sort of set in the courtroom, but they don't really explain the law or use the law really to drive the plot. And that's what I really wanted to do in the book, to take advantage of the legal setting. And it is sort of a challenge not to be too technical, but to sort of get across why the characters are doing things the way they're doing them.
What was the first legal fiction that you both remember reading, and how did that influence you?
Scott Turow, Presumed Innocent. And I thought it was one of the smartest thrillers I'd ever read, legal or not. Because the villain is right there through the whole story, and I at least never got it until the very end. And I thought his courtroom scenes were pretty authentic.
And how about you, Alifair?
Yeah, I would actually say the same thing. I actually don't read a lot of legal fiction anymore because I don't want my own work to wind up sounding like that. But, no, I think Scott Turow is really talented.
Law school, I teach legal research and writing. Law students learn legal research, finding cases, reading them to figure out what courts say, what the law is in a particular area. Did either of you actually do any legal research beyond what you already knew for your books?
I don't think I did. I can remember when I was addressing different issues, I would pull recent cases on those issues. On the book I'm working on right now, I'm dealing with marital privilege, and I've just made sort of a note to go read a few of those cases just to make sure I'm not misstating anything. But I don't think I actually did research in order to write a scene, no.
I'm trying to remember if I did. I don't think I did.
And we do. I guess we know so much after having gone to law school and certainly taking taking a bar exam. Novelists can learn a lot from lawyers. And I was doing a little bit of research last night on the internet, and I was surprised to see that there are at least a couple of services that provide lawyers to fiction authors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the author will then submit a piece to the lawyer, and the lawyer will look at it and say whether or not that's right. What's your reaction to a service like that?
I think it's fine if it works for the author. I would find it very difficult to write a scene if I wasn't sure of the setting. I think it would be awfully hard to write a courtroom scene and then hand that over to a lawyer and say, well, make the courtroom stuff right. Just personally, I would rather set it in a place that I really knew, because that would keep my writing going. I can't imagine writing a scene without that.
I wouldn't say that I've actually read whole chapters and, said, is it right or is it wrong, and here's how you would change it. But, one of my father's characters is a lawyer, and he has run things by me. I won't read it, but he'll call me and say, how would this work? But I think that's a little different than trying to write, a courtroom-based novel without knowing the law.
We have a caller on line 4. Go ahead, please. Hello, line 4?
Yes. The attorney in your book, do they ever do anything that's just flat out illegal to make their case or make their point?
Mine hasn't yet, but I'm sort of toying with that idea in the third book.
I would say the same thing. Mine hasn't yet. I can't see her doing that either. I could see maybe one of the other characters in the book doing it, but I don't think I could see my main protagonist doing that.
But your main attorney is not going to do that, or?
No, I can't see that.
Okay.
I don't think it would be consistent with her character, but I guess I can't say never.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And do you think that you haven't done that yet because many of the lawyers you've worked with over the years do have a high ethical sense?
I really do have a very high regard for the legal profession, and I know that's not a particularly popular, but, I think the bad apples are few and far between.
I'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to read you back to these legal services that read the works of fiction and get your reaction to one of the lines from one of the websites, and that is that this attorney can help authors with lawyers' thinking. The excerpt is this: lawyers and judges think differently than other people. Do you agree with that?
I do. I do. I think we do think differently.
And how does that either work for you when you go to write about a lawyer, or work against you?
I think it's almost totally something that works for you, because I think when we read fiction, or when I read fiction, I don't want to read about me. I want to read about people I don't know very much about. I want these characters to be really different from me, and I think it's pretty interesting to take a situation and point out the things that we get used to that might seem you know, in temporary sanity, the prison guards really like Buck Hammond, who murdered a guy on live TV. They just really like him. And that happens. And I think that it's more interesting than setting everybody up with either a white hat and a black hat and you know, keeping the lines drawn that way.
Mm-hmm. Alifair?
Yeah, I think it helps. And I do think that lawyers do think differently. We always tell our first-year law students that the biggest thing they do the first year is learn how to think like a lawyer. But sometimes when I'm writing the book, I have to sort of step out of that and not think too much like a lawyer, because fiction writing is different than legal writing.
Yeah, how is it different? Describe it as someone who teaches legal writing. How does it differ? And explain it to the audience out there who may not know exactly what it means to write something to a court, write something to another lawyer.
It's hard to articulate. Part of it, it's not that difficult for me to straddle the lines, because I actually, in my legal writing, always tried to be very natural and to include sort of interesting language. So my prose doesn't change that much between the fiction writing and the legal writing, but it's more, you know, legal writing, you just want to get to the point. And with fiction, you want to kind of dole the plot points out little by little and plant the clues here and there and make sure that you take detours to develop character and to have humor. And it's a little slower of a process, I think.
And Rose, were you practicing when you wrote your first novel?
Yes, I was. I was practicing full time.
And was that difficult at all for you then? I assume having to write one way during the day and then at night or on the weekends in a completely different mode.
Yeah, it would have been absolutely daunting if I had thought I was writing a novel. But I never thought that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize until the end just how difficult it should have been. But yeah, I think that's why in the first book, more than the second, I ended up throwing away so much that where I just sounded like a lawyer. And it's exactly what Alifair said. You just get to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And in fiction, you don't want to just get to the point. You want to take your time and pace it and flush out the character and flush out the scenery. And it's a different mindset.
And I'm curious about this. As practicing lawyers then and having this talent for writing, was that recognized at all by judges and other attorneys with whom you worked? Your talent as writers, I mean, even when you would write legally?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I think good writing is good writing. And I think, you know, if you are a good writer, then you can make a shift from one kind of writing to the next, but you still know how to put, no matter which kind it is, you still know how to put a good sentence together and put a persuasive paragraph together. And I think it was.
Yeah, I would always be very grateful when judges would go out of their way to tell me that I was a good writer and it made their job easier when lawyers were good writers. So.
That's excellent, and I'm going to take that into the classroom with me next week.
So I tell my students all the time that you really need to be a good writer, because it's often the first impression you set.
Yeah. Do you, and Alifair, I'll start with you, do you ever recall reading anything in legal fiction, big names, big name authors, that didn't quite ring true as a lawyer? You sort of got the sense that that people may be misled, perhaps not intentionally, by the author. And I ask this because I remember, and I think it was reading The Firm, but I'm not sure about this, that the main character here was a United States Supreme Court clerk who, as I recall, was having trouble getting job offers because the market was really tight. I think that was the book. I could be wrong. And I just knew that that was not right. No matter how tight the job market, if you go to work for a United States Supreme Court justice, you will get job offers. Do y'all ever remember reading anything sort of along those lines?
I just don't remember it. I don't read a lot of legal fiction, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I know that when I pick things up, a lot of times I don't even wind up finishing, because the courtroom scenes are just a lot of, you know, colorful objections that don't ever happen.
Mm-hmm. I started thinking of the firm as soon as you started asking your question, but for a different reason. That's one of the only books I can think of where I just couldn't make the leap with the plot. I couldn't. That was the one where the firm was killing off lawyers who went the wrong way. And I usually am a very willing story listener. Tell me a story, and I'll listen, and I'll buy it. But I couldn't buy that one.
Where do you learn how to write about law in this way, how to write legal fiction as you do? Who taught you? And Alifair, I bet your father had something to do with this.
Well, I don't read a lot of legal thrillers, but I read a lot of mysteries. And so I actually think of Judgment Calls is actually much more like a Mike O'Connelly novel or a Sue Grafton novel. Samantha Kincaid is sort of like a gumshoe who happens to have a law degree. And so I think a lot of my writing is influenced a little bit by other mysteries I've read, what makes a good mystery. But mostly it's just, you know, my stories that come down on paper. I never took writing classes or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Rose?
I don't read a lot of legal fiction either, but I think, at least for myself, I learned how to write legal fiction in the courtroom because I always found if I was in court, I was a happy lawyer. I wasn't a happy lawyer in my office. And not that I was an unhappy lawyer, but I mean, that's where I really felt alive, was in the courtroom. And it wasn't because of the legal arguments being made. It was because of the human stories being played out. There's some real drama going on in every courtroom in the country at some point. So I think that's what drove me to want to put some stories down on paper.
And do you think that any lawyer could do this?
I think you have to love to write. It's too difficult to do unless you love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think any lawyer. It's hard to write a book. Mm-hmm. It's difficult, and you really have to be dedicated to it, and you have to really love writing.
Alifair, would you have handled any case or the case in your book differently from the way your characters handle it?
Yeah.
And what would you do differently?
I have a little more tact and patience than Samantha Kincaid does. So she's quick to act and pretty headstrong and independent, just goes out on her own and takes charge of things in ways that are not always wise. And definitely not always safe. So I probably would be a little more in the system than she is.
And how about you, Rose?
I think I'd answer that the opposite way. I think that my character, Marty Nickerson, has a lot more patience than I have. I think that she bides her time in situations where I might try to force some resolution sooner. Mm-hmm. But in terms of legal handling, no, I pretty much have her. Her legal maneuvers are ones that I would take.
What was the toughest case, Rose, you ever handled as a lawyer?
That's a tough question.
Would you ever want to use something like that and incorporate it into your fiction?
That's interesting. I was thinking about this the other day. I would not say that I would never do that, but the fact is that in 2.5 books now, the only real-life situations that I've sort of doctored up and put in the books have been the funny ones, you know, the things that caused a belly laugh in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't chosen any of the difficult real-life situations to try to doctor up and put in. And I wasn't really conscious of that until recently.
And why do you think that is? I mean, is there any reason that's come to you?
I think that, you know, if you're doing criminal defense work, you're meeting some pretty hardened characters, but you're also meeting some pretty sad characters. And I think it's difficult to take their misfortunes and, you know, put a few Band-Aids on them and pretend that it's fictional. I just don't think that's something I would find satisfying.
And how about you, Alifair?
I use components of real cases, both the funny stuff and the sad stuff, but making changes.
And how about for you in terms of the toughest case? What was it, and would you ever use that in a novel?
I have to say that like no one case jumps to mind. I mean, one of the cases that I did use was a tough case, but I was involved in it only tangentially, and that was a case where somebody came forward and confessed to a crime that someone else had already been convicted of, and the issue was how do you get a factually innocent person out of prison if there was no error at their trial?
Mm-hmm.
And we found that was not such an easy thing to have happen, and I use that aspect of the law in the book.
How have lawyers, I know you mentioned this before, Elifer, but in general, how have lawyers reacted to this? Do they say, you know, it's great, I'm so happy that another lawyer is writing these books?
I mean, the lawyers that I met on the book tour, like I said, they said they really liked it. I haven't heard anything negative. I think people like to read books that are legally based, but also, you know, like I said, good fiction at the same time.
Yeah. And there's a question here by email for Elifer. Have you been influenced at all by the writings of your father, James Lee Burke?
No, we don't write in the same style at all. I mean, my father's background is a true literary background, and he tends to be a little more stylized in his prose, I would say, than I am, whereas my background's legal, and I tend to write very tersely and use the law to my advantage in the books. But I would say the way that he influenced me is in my writing habits. He wrote every day, even when he was out of print, for over a decade. And that always seemed very natural to me, to think of myself as a writer, even when I was in practice, and to write all the time. And I started writing at a pretty young age, and I would say that was because of his influence. So if you read our books, you wouldn't know, I don't think, that we were father and daughter, but I don't know if I would be as good of a writer if it weren't for him.
Mm-hmm. And did he influence a decision to go to law school at all for you?
No. I mean, mm-hmm. He's always told all of us to do whatever makes us happy.
Mm-hmm. How about the lawyers you did graduate from law school with? If you've spoken with any of them, how I would imagine that they are incredibly jealous.
They've not admitted to that.
Yeah. Well, as they toil away.
Very supportive.
Pardon me?
Very supportive.
Oh, supportive, yeah. No, I wonder because as they're in their offices, as you say, toiling away, writing
exactly.
Briefs and memoranda instead of writing in this way.
My colleagues at the law school in particular are like, how did you write a novel on top of all of the law review articles that, you know, we have to write for tenure and, you know, for our academic requirements? It's like, oh, you know, to me it just uses a different side of my brain, and so I tend to work on the novels at night and the legal writing during the day.
Mm-hmm. And Rose, how could we incorporate some of these things, some of these ideas in law classes, like a legal writing class, for example? Would it make sense to try to start sprinkling some of these ideas into law students' minds early on?
Novel writing ideas?
Yeah, novel writing ideas are just incorporating this sort of writing into writing for courts, into writing for other lawyers. Do you think we should?
I haven't really given that question thought, but I will say when I was practicing, it was always a great relief to me to read a judge's opinion that broke the mold, that was either funny or, you know, took a more philosophical approach to the problem than just a legal one. And, yeah, I do think it would be interesting to introduce at the law school level that, you know, maybe there are different ways of coming at this. Certainly you need to know the nuts and bolts of legal writing, but, you know, that there are other aspects to it, that there is a human story here, and there are moral issues and philosophical issues as well as legal ones.
And Elifer, do you agree?
Yes, I would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know about trying to teach fiction writing in law school, but I do think that they need to realize that legal writing isn't that different from writing generally. You want to be a good writer.
And what's next for both of you? Alifair, I'll start with you.
Well, I just finished the manuscript for my second book.
Oh, congratulations.
And I'm in my third year of teaching at Hofstra and still loving it, so I'm pretty happy where things are right now.
And how about you, Rose?
I'm almost through with the third manuscript, and Scribner has opted for the fourth, and they want that by next October.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Then a final thought, again, I guess this is more personal for me. What is the best thing about writing about law in this way, free of any constraints, free of any court constraints or law firm constraints? And Alifair, I'll start with you.
It's very creative. I love my job as a law professor because I can write about the law in whatever way I want. I don't have a client. I can say whatever I want. And the book just allows me to explore those issues, but from a fictional perspective, and to also sort of explore my love of mystery books.
Mm-hmm. And Rose?
I think the answer ties back into only writing because you love to write. I'm actually here in Vermont on a writer's retreat this week, and last night I stood up and I said, is there any better feeling than writing a paragraph that you're really happy about? And everybody in the room just, you know, had jumped up and grabbed that idea. I just think it's a wonderful. Again, you have to love it, but if you do, boy, there's nothing better.
Yeah, and see, I would like to bring some of those ideas into the classroom and have that same sort of desire to write well and have that same sense of accomplishment for each paragraph, even in writing to courts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's all the time we have, sadly. The novels are Temporary Sanity by Rose Connors and Judgment Calls by Alifair Burke. Both authors are attorneys, and they incorporate their insider knowledge and their insider perspectives into their novels. Thank you both very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Certainly.